ಜಯ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಜಯ ದ್ವೈತ ಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಜಯ ದ್ವೈತ ಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಜಯ ದ್ವೈತ ಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ So we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19. The Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, text 161. Prathamei Upashakar Karae Chedanam Tabe Mulashakam Badi Yaya Vrindavana Prathame Upashakar Karaye Chedana Tabe Mula Shaka Badi Yaya Vrindavan Prathame Upashakar Prathame, from the very beginning, Upashakar, of the unwanted creepers, Karaye, thus, Chedana, the cutting away, Tabe, then only, Mulashaka, the chief creeper, Badi, increasing, Yaya, goes, Vrindavan, to the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna in Vrindavan. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As soon as an intelligent devotee sees the unwanted creeper growing beside the original creeper, he must cut it down instantly. Then the real creeper of Bhakti Lata Bija grows nicely, returns home back to Godhead, and seeks shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna. If one is misled by unwanted creepers and is victimized, he cannot make progress back to Godhead. Rather, he remains within this material world and engages in activities having nothing to do with pure devotion or service. Such a person may be elevated to the higher planetary systems, but because he remains within the material world, he is subjected to the threefold material miseries. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shavaka Chukshurum Militam Midantasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangom Nangayati Grimat Kripa Dalaham Shri Gurum Dinatharinam Paramananda Madhavam. Today's the appearance day of Srinimbarka Acharya. There's not much information about his life, but the Nimbarka Sampradaya are the only other Vaishnava Sampradaya who worships Radha Krishna together. And they have as sadhana practice chanting of the Gopal mantra for a long time. In the mind, by meditating within the heart of that mantra. So here, Lord Chaitanya continues with the instruction to Sanatana Goswami. And after describing and giving examples about a few of the different unwanted creepers that may grow during the process of our gardening of bhakti, he says now that the solution is to cut down immediately when one sees that unwanted creeper comes. And then the result will be Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. The result will be you will see Shri Radha Gopinath face to face. Even while you're here in the material world, the Bhakti Lata penetrates the whole universe and reaches Goloka Vrindavan and gives fruits. And when these fruits become ripe, the gardener can taste these fruits. So what are these fruits? Are they something you eat, or what is it? How can we describe the fruit of this Bhaktivada tree? What is it? Something you can touch or you can see? How you experience it? Yeah, how do you experience love? You see it, you hear it, you smell it, you feel it. Yeah, so it's an emotion. The fruit is an emotion. And this is the pure emotion of bhakti, bhakti bhava. And this emotion can only, fructify or become ripe only when this bhakti lata flourishes and there are no weeds. So Prabhupada says here that if one is victimized by a wanted creepers, he remains here. In other words, the consciousness remains somehow stuck here in this world. And even if we continue practicing and pouring water by the practice of sadhana bhakti, we will not be able to experience this emotion. And in the purport of the previous verse, Prabhupada summarizes that these unwanted creepers, or he calls them here pitfalls, all these are pitfalls of personal sense gratification. So unwanted creepers are self-centered desires to enjoy and control. In other words, to imitate Krishna. That's why we're here. And that's what we should try to eradicate. That's what Srila Prabhupada is saying in the previous verse by describing all the different types of unwanted desires and unwanted moods and unwanted emotions. To be able to allow this pure bhava to awaken within the heart, actually that emotion is already there. But we need to purify the heart, and then it will flourish. It will come from there, not suddenly, gradually. First, you see, when the plant grows, you see little by little by little, and you need to take care. If you have a special plant, you need to have a special care. So the unwanted desires and emotions are very much. We're very much habituated to this after being in this world for a long, long time. And it's very difficult to get rid of them. And sometimes it may seem possible, especially when maybe gross habits is a little bit easier by conviction to give up. Srila Prabhupada said in one lecture, I remember he was saying, to advance, we have to give up these habits in the lower modes of nature, the sinful activities like meat eating, intoxication. And he said, "These are so easy to give up, and gradually by advancing, you reduce your that's the idea. You reduce your material activities." Up to minimizing them so much that you don't need them. And he was giving the example of the Goswamis, and he said, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, you reduce them You reduce your eating, you reduce your sleeping. And he was saying, and as far as mating, sex life, oh, you can give up immediately. And he said it with such an ease. And defense, of course, means, you know, you depend on Krishna. But we may find ourselves, especially on the subtle platform, uneasy to control or to be able to deal with unwanted desires and emotions. So what do we do when they come? And those students who were in the first year class of philosophy, we discussed a little bit about one school called the Stoics, who thought that the emotions are actually a cognitive process. They are in the head somehow. Or rather, they were convinced that you may be able to control your emotions just by rational thinking, by convincing yourself that they are wrong. So imagine you have a desire, or let's say you have envy in your heart, or greed, and then you coolly and rationally you analyze the situation and you understand this is something you don't need. It leads to trouble. And then it goes away. But do you agree it works like that? Maybe, if you're really strong and somehow you can push it and subdue the emotion. But usually we become victimized. But we become overwhelmed. I think is the proper word. We become overwhelmed, and then even if we know it's not proper, then we act on it, or at least we contemplate. And there are many examples of that in the Shastras also, not only from our experience. And one good one is Dhritarashtra, who knew that Krishna was God, who knew that his son was rascal, but he was too attached, and he said, my heart is there, I can't stop the war, you know, I can't make this decision just because of my strong attachment. So this is called weakness of the heart. Because of weakness, so he couldn't use his power of discrimination. But what can we do, you know, to be able to deal with these unwanted desires and emotions? Because actually, bhakti is something to do with emotions, not with thinking process, not with just belief, because you believe with your head. You decide, yeah, I like this philosophy or this religion and I believe in it. But that's not bhakti. That doesn't create anything in your heart, right? If you say, I believe in Krishna, say it in the mind, I believe in Krishna. Does it bring ecstasy? Not really. And the initial emotions we get in Krishna consciousness usually are emotions of relief, right? We come after, maybe some come because of pure inquisitiveness to develop knowledge of their spiritual identity, knowledge of God, but many, Krishna says, come to him because of frustration of material experience, because of suffering or because of need. So when we take shelter of Krishna, then we may feel relief. And this is a particular emotion. I don't suffer so much, I feel relief. But this cannot last long. This cannot keep us here because our heart it longs, it hankers for real emotional exchange. Just relief out of frustration will not work. So, if we are not careful to develop this bhakti lata that will gradually give the fruits of pure emotions, then what will happen? Our heart will be empty. We'll feel some emptiness, some hole inside, some dryness. So we would desire to pour it with something, and then Maya will come and knock on the door of our consciousness and say, hello, I'm your old friend, do you remember me? I've seen you've tried your best to follow something which actually is impossible. You can see yourself. How many years you tried? What's the result? How do you feel? How is your heart? Is it, are you fulfilled? Are you experiencing dynamic and rich and full emotions and of love, and you are loving and you're being loved? And if you cannot say firmly, yes, I'm happy because I'm experiencing this, I will say, yes, there is no way, at least not now. I don't, you know, you can believe in Krishna, no problem. But be realistic, you know, be honest, admit this you cannot do, you cannot follow. So just, you know, come to earth and I will take care of your feelings, no problem. Just leave it to me. So she engages us in different projects in our consciousness, different images of happy existence, and we may follow that. And then we are, as Prabhupada says, we are misled by unwanted creepers and victimized. Then we cannot make the progress. We remain here and do something which is definitely not a pure devotional service. So what is the cure? Do we just, if we're facing some unwanted creepers, desires, emotions coming out from our heart, what do we do? Do we think, oh, I can't do anything, I cannot, with the power of my intelligence and mind, I cannot subdue them, so I'll leave it to the time to fix it, right? Time fixes everything, any pain, any desire, and it will go away. Maybe if we're persistent to perform our service somehow or other, but we can do something, and that something is that we have to, well, first of all, why is this happening? Srila Prabhupada gives an interesting explanation that we experience this sudden, or maybe not sudden, but desires, probably even old images of some enjoyment or something that come into our mind, and we wonder, and Prabhupada says this example of the lake which has sediments at the bottom, some very old, and then there is the process of how is that called, fermentation, so sometimes, you know, bubbles come of this gas on the surface, so that's our mind like that, you know, it's full of all kinds of samskaras or impressions or vasanas, you know, hidden desires, and when they come up sometimes, and then we wonder, wow, we're shocked, what is this, you know, I thought I'm a pure devotee already, I clean my heart, and I'm chanting 16 rounds, I've been following, and suddenly, what is this? So Prabhupada says it's the super soul who gives us these images, and you may wonder, what do you mean? And the reason is that Krishna is testing us, giving us the chance to what? Choose him or Maya. That's the only choice we can make, actually. That's the free will of the living entity. It can choose what to desire. So we may choose, no, I don't like this. I would prefer to stick to Krishna. I'm convinced. Well, that's the place where we can use our intelligence and you know, power of mind. That we can say, yes, I'm convinced, and I'll make the proper choice. And we choose Krishna, so we don't go for, we don't act on these wrong desires or misleading desires. We just choose Krishna. And that choice will come very easily if we persistently stick to our real identity. But we have to be conscious. What is our real identity? It's, I am a servant of Krishna. And this is something which, once we realize and act on it, will bring us such an immense joy and happiness and real emotions that we'll automatically lose the taste for anything else. And this is so, this feeling of being a servant is so ecstatic and profound that, and it gives such a bliss that everyone wants to taste. All the Vishnu tattvas, Srila Prabhupada here in the sixth chapter. And one purport says that all the avatars of the Lord and the expansions, Vishnu Tattvas, they have the right to forget that they are God and engage in service to the Swayam Bhagavan, to the original personality, Krishna. And so they have their right, and that's what they do, you know, beginning from Balaram. He feels himself as a servant. Actually, all the devotees in all the different rasas, they are servant. They feel the attitude of service. The friends for the servants, the friends, the parents, you know, Nanda Maharaj is saying that to Uddhava when Uddhava leaves, after staying for some time in Vrindavan, he says, please pray for us. We would like to remember Krishna and remember his lotus feet and serve his lotus feet. And of course, the gopis, they are considering themselves the maid servants of Krishna. Everyone is servant, including all the Vishnu Tattvas, and they are extremely happy being in that situation, just like Advaita Acharya. Although his social position was to be a senior to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya always paid him respect, he was very uncomfortable with that. But one time, Lord Chaitanya allowed the devotees to worship him as God, and then Advaita Acharya started jumping up and down and screaming, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya, I'm the servant of the servant. So this is the mood, even of God. And our mood here is, we want to be God. You know, we don't want to be servant. We want to taste what is to be God, but God wants to taste what is to be servant. So even Swayam Bhagavan, who is the only one person who is, you know, the center of all service, he also wants to taste his disposition of being a servant. So he comes as Lord Chaitanya. So if everyone, most powerful personalities in the existence, want to have that position, what to speak of us? You know, we can feel so happy and fortunate that we have this opportunity to just do some service. So that's Prabhupada. It does what he says. That's the secret, he says, of Bhakti Yoga, is to grab the opportunity of some service. It doesn't matter what. Just take it and put your heart into it. Do it with care, with attention. Do it nicely, and that's what will attract Krishna. And he is within the heart, and he will see, oh, this devotee wants to make sacrifice and, you know, shove my away, you know, my is pushing, and we are pushing back and saying, yeah, this is a nice proposition, but I have a better idea, you know, I grab my japa, I will stare at the deities, I will read Krishna book or something. And Krishna likes that, so he will make transformations within our heart, and we will come back closer to him soon. I think it's time. Thank you so much for your attention. Are there any comments? Yes, Prabhu. What are the emotions that are conducive for loving God? Well, I think we don't have it, but this is described in the act of devotion. These are different types of anubhavas. I mean, the emotions are, there's so many varieties of them. But they all create a certain mood, and it changes within the time, and it makes the variety more pleasurable. But sometimes they may resemble, of course, they're emotions of affection, of attraction, of love, of a desire to be close to the beloved, and there is the emotion of separation, which is actually the pinnacle, the strongest of all, and that resembles very much pain. There is pain in that, but here the pain is bitter, the material emotion of suffering from separation, but there it's sweet, although there is suffering. So this is another type of anubhava. And I just can't remember on the top of my head. But there are great many varieties, and all the different sub-rasas also are different ways to experience emotions in Krishna consciousness. Anyone else want to add something? Are there any good emotions that can be used? Yeah, all the desires which are which lift us up, you know, from the lower modes, you may classify them as material in that sense. But if they are conducive to spiritual progress, then they are fine. So we have to see the opposite of what Krishna says in Gita. Lust, envy, and greed are the gateways to hell. So this drags us down. So the opposite of that is, even if it's considered material, it can uplift us. Yeah, like compassion and things like that. Yeah. Yes, bro. Yeah, that's a very good point actually. That's what I was thinking also, that, you know, if you have the desire to please Krishna in any way, and you can try to see when in whatever situation, in whatever you're dealing with, are, you know, energies of Krishna, it means objects and subjects and persons, if you view them with the mood of engaging them in service, then your emotions towards them, those persons and objects, will be purified actually, and they may be material in the beginning, just like devotees, you know, they have spiritual feelings and emotions they exchange between themselves. That's the example of Uddhava and residents of Vrindavan. They gave him this, and when they were sending him, they gave him presents, and they really felt very affectionate towards him. So the emotions also flow between the devotees. So that's what also we can experience here in this world. But it may start like a material affection or something like that. But if we engage it in Krishna's service, it becomes purified. So it was a very good point. Yes, Paul. I think the best way is by associating with devotees. And I mean real association, which is recommended by Rupa Goswami. Then you reveal your heart, and then you share, you know, your realizations and deep feelings with other devotees, with close-minded devotees, and then these things may come up, or others may notice if one is not able. If you somehow don't see something, usually others can detect this. Of course, the spiritual master and other sadhus. Then it becomes easier to at least identify. And then how to deal, I think I mentioned, we have to use the power of choice, you know, the strengthen our muscles of choice. And whenever we see that, that means the cutting, you know, we make a decision to not go in that direction. Even if it stays, you know, they sometimes they may be persistent, and then this feeling may remain for some time. But we have to be convinced, I am looking for Krishna. There is the perfect reciprocation I can find, only in Him. So that will come. We have to not feel insecure. Actually, our problems come because of insecurity. In all relationships in general, we have fears. If you know, in all kinds of relationships, we have this fulfillment of heart. But for Krishna, we have to be sure he will reciprocate. Prabhupada says in one lecture, he's saying, you know, we're frustrated, you know, in our relationship with friends, with husbands or wives, and then we feel insecure and with servants or whatever, in all different rasas. But if you take shelter of Krishna, he says he will never betray you. He will never cheat. He will, your perfect friend, your perfect lover, your perfect husband, your perfect child, you will never suffer. So we, at least theoretically, must have that conviction and say, no, I put my heart there, and it will come. And that's the choice you're making. You know, you don't stay at the wrong ones, even if they try to persist, you know, and cling to the heart for a long time. You just push on. Yeah. That's all. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.